Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 21, we were talking about the list in verse 8 of those people who will not be allowed into heaven. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
What a list is given here for us. The first thing listed is the fearful. Now, the fearful could be one of two things, if not both. It could be fearful as a person who is violent and wicked. Mean people of little compassion. Or many vile passions. It could be those who are cowardly, on the other hand. They do not receive Jesus Christ for fear of the cost in this life. It may even refer to those in the tribulation who are told to renounce Christ or die. So, the fearful. And then the next one listed here in verse 8 of Revelation 21 is the unbelieving. The unpardonable sin is to never receive Christ as Savior in this lifetime. Because then it cannot be pardoned in hell. It then would not be a salvation of faith. We're reminded of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. There's that word, believe. We think of Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then I think of John 3:18, for people who don't believe. It says they are condemned already. So there we see right off the bat, the fearful and the unbelieving. The next one listed for us are the abominable. It has the idea of doing those things that makes one very, very vile or to be self-abhorred before God. Homosexuality is referred in that way. It's abominable when you read Romans chapter 1. But on the other hand, think of this from Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, when I think about that, I'm not speaking of slacks on women. I know that that has been a issue in many places over the years. I personally feel like that if a slack, they say a slack is a man's dress only, and yet if a man comes here and he has flowered breeches on and he's got a zipper up the back and they have a little bit of lace on him, I have a tendency to think that that's effeminate. And I sure don't want him working around any children. And so, I'm not necessarily talking about the style. I'm talking about modesty, and I'm talking about distinction. Now, in heaven, men and women are in robes. When Adam and Eve sinned, God made them coats of skin. Neither one of them were in pants. When Jesus walked on the earth, he was in a robe. The high priest that wore breeches in Exodus, those went underneath their robes, and they were actually to the knee, and they were white linen. We call those boxer shorts today. And so, the dress was robes in the Bible days, when God first dressed them, and it's that way in heaven. It may be just as wrong for a man to walk around in pants as it is for a woman if you think that it's wrong for a woman to wear pants. Or it might be that God's way is distinction. God made us distinctive. He made us two different sexes. And that distinction should also be shown in the way you dress. And to dress like a man, if you're a woman, or to dress like a woman, if you're a man, is an abomination, the Bible teaches. You say, Brother Andy, are you saying that? Well, in a sense I am, but the truth of the matter is, it's what God says. I'm just his messenger, and I'm telling you what God says. Now, murderers is the next one listed here, and that's pretty self-explanatory. Although I would add to that, that would include abortion, because you're still killing a life, and that's murder. A whoremonger, that speaks to men. That's the next one. And we're reminded of Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, there's a lot going on in this day. There are people that call themselves Christians. They've been married before, and they either had a divorce or a mate died, and they start dating again. And for some reason, because they know what it was to be one flesh before, it's all right for them to be one flesh now with someone they're not married to, but they are just dating. Well, my friend, that is still vile. It's as bad as homosexuality. It's still sin in God's sight. And God says, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now, the next one listed here in our list here in Revelation 21:8 are sorcerers. That speaks to the use of black magic and drugs. You might say a form of witchcraft. Mystery Babylonianism. We've seen in your movies and other things today that they advertise talking about the force being with you and about all these other things involved in their religion, meditation, so forth, and then they'll take a drug with it and work it together. And that's what sorcery is all about. Idolatry is the next thing listed. God said not to make an image of anything in heaven, earth, or under the earth. No image of him. No one has seen God at any time, the Bible tells us. So anybody that tries to make an image of God is doing something less. Understand that the body of Jesus Christ is only a tent, a covering of his real person. And the pictures that the Renaissance people painted of a long-haired man that looks a little bit on the effeminate side isn't necessarily Jesus. It's not necessarily the way Jesus looked. He probably didn't look like that. He was Jewish in appearance, and his hair would have been cropped shorter than what those pictures show. And so I just as soon see what the Bible says, the way Jesus says it, more than what an artist or somebody else that knows not our Lord would say. But nonetheless, that's idolatry, and we're not to worship those things. Now, we've been going through this list in Revelation 21, verse 8, and you say, man, I'm not guilty of any of these things. I'm all right. I'm not guilty of any of it, even adultery, as the whoremonger mentions. Although, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her in his heart has already committed adultery. It is in God's sight, whether it is in your sight or not. You're not the judge, God is. But let's say that you've not even done that. You think you've been missed by this infamous list. Well, this last one says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The last one says all liars. How many lies does it take to make someone a liar? Well, I believe probably the same amount as it takes to make someone a murderer. How many people do you got to kill before you're a murderer? That's right. Just one. One lie makes us a liar. All of us have lied. That's why we all need a Savior. Now, the above sins are not figurative. I mean, can you imagine people saying, well, these sins are only figurative. Come on. What do you take us for? These are not figurative. These are literal sins. And as those sins are not figurative, neither is the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. Revelation 20:14-15 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, why would he give us literal, not figurative sins, and then give us a figurative place where people are punished? You see, that would break any semblance of perfection in the writing of the Word of God. And so when people tell you, well, there's not a real literal lake of fire and brimstone, it's just a separation from God. And I can't think of anything that would be any worse than being separated from God, not able to commune with Him through all eternity. Well, there are people that live this entire life without communing with God, and they don't want any communion with Him. That wouldn't be bad to them. No, there's a literal burning lake of fire. And the implication, then, is that since all are guilty of at least one of these sins, the ones who are in the lake of fire are people who were not willing to repent. They were not willing to admit, I'm a sinner that deserves to go to hell. They're not willing to admit that I deserve to go to this eternal lake of fire. They probably had the attitude, I'm not that bad. They didn't think they really need the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. They didn't think they needed a substitute to die for them and to raise from the dead. But they did. And this more than proves they need it just like any of us need it. They need it, but they refused it. They did not repent. Their part, he says there, they shall have their part. And that's interesting there. Because their part stands for the degree of punishment. See, the reason for the white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20 is not to determine whether those people that are there go to heaven or to hell. Those people at that judgment are all going to hell. They're going to that eternal lake of fire. The judgment is to determine the degree of punishment. As Luke 12:47-48 point out, hell's going to be worse for some than it is for others. Those to whom much was committed, of them the much more shall be expected. And so, their punishment will be greater. Now, this eternal lake of fire is going to be worse for some than it is for others.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.